This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Let's turn, please, to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. A number of the Christmas carols talk about the manger and the hay. But not too many Christmas carols talk about the straw. Less well-known Christmas carol, Come Ye Children. That carol talks about straw. And I think you'll know why I find that significant in just a few moments. Luke 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Notice especially the first three parts of verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Sometimes we say that our Lord was born in the manger. As I read Scripture, he was laid in the manger after he was born. I grew up on the farm. I grew up around barns all of my childhood. And I have yet to see a manger that would be suitable for birthing. I have yet to see a manger that is suitable for birthing. But we are told that after the birth, the manger made the best bed available. Now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. We'll read the first four verses here. God, who at sundry times and in various manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. After the birth of our Lord, Mary laid him in a manger. Now, note my text, the first part of Hebrews 1, verse 2. God hath, in these last days, spoken unto us by His Son. God has spoken unto us by His Son. I am indebted to the late Dr. John Henry Jowett for several of the thoughts expressed in this message. Dr. Jowett describes the event referred to at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Dr. Jowett describes this event as the speech of the Incarnation. The speech of the Incarnation. God hath spoken unto us by His Son. When the second person of the triune God humbled Himself and allowed Himself to be made in the likeness of men, His mother Mary placed Him in that manger. The manger was the feed trough for the animals in the stable, and as a manger, it probably had some hay in it. And if the stable was a typical stable, there was probably also some straw scattered about the floor for the animals to lie on, to afford the animals at least a little insulation from the cold earth that formed the floor of the stable. There was probably some straw. Probably not much, for most of the farmers were poor, but certainly the farmers who cared for their animals, and all wise farmers care for their animals because their animals are their investment. Wise farmers who care for their animals try to put down as much straw as they can afford to insulate the resting place for their animals. It was into this very unlikely and humble setting that Jesus was willing to come to shed His sinless blood, to purchase redemption, salvation for all who will believe in the forgiveness of His blood. God hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. With your prayerful attention, I'll speak this morning on this subject, the speech from the straw. God hath spoken to us by His Son, the speech from the straw. From that situation of stinking straw, I well know that it does not take the straw long to stink when the animals make the straw their home. I grew up having to take care of stinking straw and the other things that go with it. From that situation of stinking straw, God grew the greatest speech that has ever been delivered to men. God has spoken to us in and by His Son. This speech was 33 and a half years long. And this speech from the straw, this long speech from the straw, is the greatest speech that's ever been delivered on the face of the earth. This speech from the straw has never been equaled, and it never will be equaled. This speech from the straw was never equaled by Demosthenes, that great orator. This speech from the straw was not equaled by Cicero or Patrick Henry or William Jennings Bryan or Martin Luther King. This speech from the straw has never been equaled. There have been many powerful speeches given in the course of human history, but this speech from the straw has never been equaled. No one could touch the speech from the straw. The speech from the straw echoes like the clarion call of 1,000 silver bells across the centuries, warning and inviting men and women and youth to seek the Lord. The speech from the straw has been a speech of both warning and invitation to seek peace with God. Let's notice several things about the speech from the straw. Notice, first of all, that the speech from the straw was human language. The speech from the straw was human language. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This speech from the straw was indeed incarnate or human speech. It was incarnate or human speech. The dictionary says that the word incarnation means embodiment in human form. So that which is incarnate is that which is embodied in human form. The speech from the straw was human language. The infant Jesus had to learn to talk. And the speech he learned was human speech. You say, "Well, I don't think so. I think that at 1.5, his speech and his language just jumped full grown from out of his little mouth." Well, I would ask you, if our blessed Lord had to endure 9 months in the womb to gradually develop according to the human course of development, would he not also have to gradually learn to talk human talk? The pattern established in the womb is that the miracle took place at the instant of conception. And though, thank God, Mary was still a virgin when she gave birth. And yes, indeed, it was the virgin birth. But before that, it was the virgin conception. There could have been no virgin birth had there not been a virgin conception. And after that moment of Mary's womb being moved upon by the Holy Ghost, and our Lord being supernaturally, miraculously conceived in her womb, after that he developed according to the course of human nature. With that in mind, I assume Jesus had to learn to talk just like every one of us. He may have learned more quickly, but the pattern is the same. For does not the word say Jesus grew in wisdom? Does not the tense of that verb suggest a gradual growing process? And this is part of the condescension, my friends. This is part of the stooping. This is part of the humiliation. Jesus grew over the period of development in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The speech from the straw was human language. Notice the second truth. The speech from the straw was my language. Blessed be God. The speech from the straw was my language. When I was in Russia and preached in the church house, that your missionary giving helped to build. When I was there to preach following the Lord's Supper, their custom is to basically have a long service in the morning and eat together and finish their day at about 3 o'clock on the Lord's Day. So we finished the morning service and they made the transition and set up tables and we had our fellowship meal together. And while we ate, there was a little girl, oh, perhaps 7, with a tooth missing in the middle up front. And she was a sweetheart, and I was lonely and missing our grandchildren. And this little girl would come out of nowhere. She would just materialize from nowhere. And she'd run up to me and smile in my face and just jabber at me. It wasn't Russian. It wasn't Ukrainian. It was just jabber. It was gibberish. She would just jabber at me and laugh at me and run away. And I'd go on with my meal and take some more bites and turn to the other side. And there she was again, just jabbering at me, pretending and making fun. It was fun, and I took her picture. But oh, I'm so glad that when Jesus came, He spoke my language. I'm glad that when He came, He so spoke that I can understand Him. There may have been some college professors I couldn't understand at times. And they were even speaking English. I'm so glad that the speech from the straw was my language. The speech from the straw was no ethereal, superior language, but it was my language. It was speech I can understand. It was speech specifically and personally for me. Most of our problems on earth are communication problems. When there is marital breakdown or breakdown in the office or on the job, it's often communication breakdown. Oh, I'm so glad that God loves all of us so much that He came and spoke our language. Turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 32. And we will see again how the fact that Jesus spoke our language impacted too. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. You may recognize the context. The context is a short time after our Lord's resurrection. And two have been made like so many others. Very sad, because Jesus has been crucified. And they're walking home. And they're discouraged. They're downhearted. They're depressed. And their hopes have been dashed. Their dream has been shattered. As far as they're concerned, their dream is dead in a tomb, in a garden. And as they walk along, commiserating with each other, Jesus Himself draws near. And they say, "What have you got to be so happy about? Why are you so happy?" Well, He's happy because He's the risen Lord Himself. But they don't know it yet. I think if you'd been Jesus, you'd be pretty happy at that moment too. Experience death for every man. Won victory over death. Hell, the grave. I think you'd be pretty happy at that moment too if you were Jesus. But they didn't know it was the risen Jesus. And they couldn't share in that joy. And so they ask Him, "Are you a stranger in these parts? Don't you know what has happened? Don't you know what happened to our Christ? We trusted, we thought, we were certain it was to be Him who would deliver us from the domination of Rome and set us free. But now it's 3 days since these things have happened. And he begins to give a prophetic exposition, a prophetic Bible study. And he begins with their own scriptures, the Old Testament prophecies about himself, and teaches all things predicted about himself. And they get to their place, and he says, well, I guess I'll just keep going on. And they beg him to come in and have the meal with them, and they ask him to return thanks. And as he returned thanks, their eyes of perception are opened, and they know it's Jesus. And then we pick it up in verse 32. And these had been so depressed and so discouraged, said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Did not our hearts burn while he talked with us by the way? Sing with me. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there. None of them has ever known. Oh, I'm so glad that the speech from the straw was my language. The fact that God came down and spoke my language is a marvel. And I think that we so often lose our amazement over the marvel that God came down and talked our language. In John chapter 4, verse 27, where our Lord has been talking with the Samaritan woman at the well, we find that the disciples came back. They went to buy food, and they came back having bought the food. And the Bible says they marveled that Jesus talked with the woman. She had a very bad reputation. She was, as is sometimes said, a woman of ill repute. She was, as some sometimes say, from the red light district. And the disciples came back and marveled that he talked with the woman. But that's why he came. He came to talk to little boys who grew up on the farm and are taken to little country churches all their lives. He came to talk to little boys who had their first Sunday school class in the woodshed and sit on the wood box and the area that keeps the wood for winter also doubles as a Sunday school class. And when the lid is closed on the wood box, the little boys sit on top of the wood box. Jesus came to talk to little farm boys just like that. And he came to talk to drug dealers. And he came to talk to women from the red light district. He came to talk the language of every human being who's ever born. He came to talk the language of those who think they're goody-goodies and too good for people from certain areas of town. Jesus came to talk to the goody-goodies who are too proud, to talk to the rest. And he came to talk to the ones who live in those other areas of town. the speech from the straw was my language. And if you'll trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you'll find that His speech is your speech. You'll understand Him perfectly if you'll trust Him. But the natural man receiveth not the things that be of God, for they're spiritually discerned. But oh, if you'll trust Christ and take Him as your Savior, instantly you'll begin to understand His language quite well. And you'll find that you'll just walk with Him a few months, and more and more and more you'll understand His speech and His language. Because once we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us to guide us into all truth and all the doctrine that is necessary for life and practice. John Henry Jowett wrote, and he has such picturesque speech. Dr. Jowett wrote, "He came into my troubled conditions. He came into my troubled conditions and expressed Himself out of my humble lot. My surroundings afforded Him a language in which He made known His good news." Do you live in a big house? Jesus talks your language. Do you live in a little house? Jesus talks your language. Do you drive a big car? Jesus talks your language. Do you drive a bug? Jesus talks your language. Do you have lots of stocks and bonds? And do you turn to the stock market report? The first thing after you read your Bible? I hope it's the first thing after you read your Bible. But do you turn to the stock market report the first thing after you read your Bible every morning? Jesus talks your language. Do you have to count your quarters to buy hoes like we did in our family when we planted at First Church up in Waterloo? We literally had to count quarters and pennies to buy a pair of hoes to make our first visit to the first family that came as visitors to that little church. Whether you have to check the stock market to see whether you're more rich or less rich, or whether you have to count your quarters, Jesus talks your language. Whether you have good health this morning or poor health, Jesus talks your language. The speech from the straw was my language. Then notice a third thing. The speech from the straw was common, understandable speech. And in that, our Lord was much better than I sometimes am. Sometimes I use words that are too big. I'm a word person. And my wife and I, by the grace of God, we raised one or two word mongers when Lee was just a little fellow, about 3 or 4. Lee would try to learn new words, and he would use big words all over the place. And the wonderful thing is, often they were in right context. And he's had an interest in vocabulary ever since. But sometimes I am prone to speak too heavily, to speak too much in obtuse theological terms. You say, "I don't even know what obtuse means." There you go again. And by the way, I didn't plan that. It just sort of came up. Obtuse just means hard to understand. Sometimes I speak in obtuse, hard to understand language, but not Jesus. The speech from the straw was common, understandable speech. Turn to Mark 12:37. Mark 12:37. 37. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And here our Lord is reasoning with the people, and he's teaching his own deity by making reference to David. David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son? But here's the conclusion of the matter. And the common people heard him gladly. The speech from the straw was common, understandable speech. The sincerely repentant and contrite understood our Lord's word pictures. The farmers were common people. And when Jesus talked about the lilies of the field, the farmers understood. The Middle East was largely an agricultural culture at that time. And when Jesus referred to the lilies of the field and the sparrows, the people understood him. The speech from the straw was an understandable speech. And the people who lived in town certainly understood about the tax collectors, where they sat on the street corners to nab you when you tried to go home, to tell you your taxes were due or overdue. And everybody could understand talk about taxes. Is there anybody here this morning over the age of 10 who doesn't understand talk about taxes? If you don't, you will. The speech from the straw was common, understandable speech. Jesus, Dr. Jowett, reminds us, used the language of the carpenter's shop. He used the language of the shepherd on the hill and the sheep that got too big for its britches. Woolen britches. The sheep that got too big for its woolen britches and wandered away. And he used the language of a wayside well and the language of common bread and the language of a friend's sickness. He used the language of the desolation of a garden where the wall was torn down and the animals came in. He used common language to teach. And then because of time, I will come to a final one. The speech from the straw reveals to us the heart of God. The speech from the straw reveals to us the heart of God. Turn, please, to John 14, verse 10. John 14:10. If you have a red letter edition of the scriptures, you'll see this is red ink. That reminds us that Jesus is talking here. And as part of his speech from the straw, Jesus says in John 14:10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." The speech from the straw reveals to us the heart of God. Turn also, please, to Matthew 23:37 for our final passage of Scripture. Matthew 23:37. Here's just another small part of the speech from the straw that lasted 33.5 years. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You kill the prophets, and you kill those I send with a message of truth, but I still love you. You hate my truth, you persecute my truth, but I still love you. How often would I have gathered you in spite of your murderous hatred? The speech from the straw reveals to us the heart of God the Father. Have you rebelled against God the Father? The speech from the straw is to remind you that He still loves you. He still wants to save you and pull you close to Him. He still wants to redeem you. He still wants to help you with your besetting sin. The speech from the straw was a redemptive speech. It was a speech that said, repent. Repent and turn. Turn from your wicked ways, because I love you. Turn, because I want to save you. Turn, because I have come to become one of you, to shed sinless human blood and bear away the penalty of hell that you deserve, and by grace give you what you don't deserve, heaven and eternal life.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.